honey, and the lanes are soft. I'm moving from this lonely city to that wide open space, from the day-long commercial to that happy place, from this burden of others to the solace and grace. I imagine this candle, my fireplace.
Nice. Your own kind of soul is burning. It's,
yeah, well, when you have the candle there, right? It's just using all the things, and just, I wanted to be in nature, so I just imagined I was, and the candle was the fireplace, and
yeah,
and all that sort of stuff, right? Just trying to recreate that experience in the city, right?
Yeah. Mm. And the randomness of a fire just kind of flutters, right? It's not like, and it's like, see, here's a, you know, in the Catholic Church, they have these votive candles, right? But for cost savings, they're using LED lights. And it's like, it's not about the light. It's about the spirituality of actually.
Yeah.
And so it's like, no, I don't think that's going to work. I know you're trying to be energy efficient, but you're losing the whole intent of the spirituality.
Actually, I stayed over at a friend's place this weekend, and he's house sitting a place that has... It's a fireplace, but there's a remote control for the fireplace, and up and down buttons on the remote. And you push up, the fire stokes. You push down, the fire goes down.
Can you imagine, like, let's go back like 150 years, right? And this guy's at the camera, oh, you know what would be amazing? You just put the, and it just goes up and down, right? And they're like, like, hold on here, right?
Yeah.
And so it just depends on, like, you know, this has become some normal thing now, but it's just like, you know, do we really need that?
You lose a lot. I mean,
and so this is this disconnection from...
part is the creativity, the experience of creating it. And there's a lot of lessons in learning how to build a fire, you know?
Yeah.
And you gain the confidence as a kid to have your first fire that you built yourself, and it's not the same when you just push the button up.
No, there's an experience.
Like, yeah.
You know, I was telling you earlier, up in the fish hatchery where I'm artist in residence, there's some girl guides right there, and they're doing some tour of the hatchery, and then I guess the parents were there hanging out, and I go, hey, do you guys want to help me make a fire? And so it was sunny out, and I said, well, I might as well get the magnifying glass. Actually, no, I started with rubbing sticks, right? And they're like, wow, we're going to do this, right? And it was just taking forever. I'm like, screw it. I was going to try flint. I couldn't find the flint. And it's like, well, we'll just use magnifying glasses. That is like the default, like, that's like giving up. He's going to magnifying glass, right?
Yeah.
And so I put a small one, and it wasn't working. And I was like, oh, I got to get the bigger magnifying glass. So I got a bigger one, and poof. And these parents are like, whoa, how did that happen? It's like, we took the sun and we made it here. Oh, they're just like, man, yeah, they're in awe. I'm like, man, I'm teaching you this. Like, you see, you know, people that are older than you taught me how to do this. And
yes, it keeps changing what's amazing.
And it's, what's kind of really accepted reality, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know, some of this absurdity has become normal for what, convenience or profit or however it got there, right? And then, you know, there's certain conveniences I think we have to make it efficient, but some of them are just like capitalists and industrialists are bored and they decide to create stuff and, you know, solve problems that don't really exist, right? Yeah.
And, well, one of the problems I think of technology is that you got to keep on making stuff. You've got to keep on producing because of the capitalist system.
Yeah.
Got to keep on having new stuff to sell, and just to keep the economy growing, because it has to grow. That's the system. You can't have an economy that doesn't grow.
That's right. And more people have to get sick. And more people have to have cancer. There have to be more disasters because these are things that are good for the economy. You see, like an oil spill. If you have an oil spill, that's great for the tax base.
Yeah.
And forget about the, you know, what's in our logical, natural minds that. Mm-hmm. Oh, hold on. Oil spills are bad. Let me just check here. They're bad for animals. They're really bad. Like, and so this is like this kind of this thread of the, what the reality is versus the absurdity in what our creative minds have made. And then it's actually tapped into this economic model that's based on growth.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't acknowledge that there's a finite resource. Really.
But then it's all made of the same stuff. It's just the shape and form of it, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing how that kind of all kind of came together. Because this is what we were talking about. Just if we just obey natural laws as much as we can, then we'll ground ourselves to what's real and what's not.
I started saying this a lot because actually I was having a discussion with one of the people in the hallway about sustainability. And sustainability is, it's not the future, it's the past. Like, everyone's inventing new sustainable things, but it's out of materials that you're going to have to then mine and do all this stuff. And if you look at the way the ancient peoples lived, that was sustainable.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, there's all different tactics, like, to get back there. Like Derek Jensen said, we just shall go back to Stone Age. The only sustainable way of living is like the lost tribes in Amazon. It's like, yeah, how do you guys do it down there? Like, I mean, they survived this whole, it's like the uncontacted tribe. And, oh, you spoiled it. They saw an airplane there. That's like, But okay, we're going to play a tune here. It's called Caballo.
Thanks.
It's horse in Alex Kugeland. So.
Montate en mi caballo que marcha a paso lento cuando de frente el viento te tira de la cara y el temor del mañana se esfuma en un momento dejándote por cierto la luz de la esperanza. Montate en mi caballo que no pide dinero. Montate en mi caballo que no pide dinero. Montate en mi caballo, apúrate en el hecho, no escuches lo que el tiempo te diga con su espada. Cuando te falten ganas de amar con todo apego, trotando yo te llevo del monte a la sabana.
Montate en mi caballo,
en mi caballo montate tú, pa'lante trotando, sí, pa'lante. Ven, súbete tú primero, no necesitas dinero, no. Caballo, caballo va. Inventarnos algo nuevo, trotando yo te llevo del monte a la sabana. Y si en la noche tienes la preocupación, si puedes llegar a la felicidad, ven, montate en mi caballo, no dejes pasar el tiempo, que esas cosas tienen su veneno, veneno.
Thanks, Mr. Alex Kubo. We love you. That was Caballo, which is a dedication to the horse from him, but also a dedication to Lauren, who works with our four-legged friends. Can you explain how that, how what you do there and what your the passion is for that?
My passion altogether would be horses, caballos.
Yeah.
I work at I volunteer at a therapeutic riding program out in Maple Ridge. It's like the most amazing thing you can do.
Yeah, tell us more. How's it been amazing?
It's absolutely amazing. You get to work with, you know, starting, you get to work with wonderful horses, and, you know, a bit of my job fell into training people how to brush horses, how to tack horses, how to do blankets, how to be comfortable, how to walk. Yeah. And then there would be, you know, sidewalking and leading, so teach people how to lead horses and sidewalk to make sure that the rider is safe for wherever they go. And you know, sometimes I get to put my own twist on the lesson too if the other trainer's busy doing something else. And
so what type of therapy, who would be a typical client that's coming into you?
A typical client be persons with disabilities. You know, it can range from a mental illness, from, you know, ADD, or, you know, to Down syndrome, to autism, Asperger's, you know, all forms.
Hmm. Even schizoaffective?
I haven't met anybody there yet, but no. Yeah.
No. So let's say I have bipolar. Like, so what type of program would work, or how would that work?
For bipolar?
Yeah.
Well, basically, first, if you want to get involved into the program, you want to get involved doing the therapeutic riding,
yeah,
you have to go and sign up, right? And then you actually have to go through a test, mm-hmm, to see if you'd be able to work to go on a horse.
Right, okay.
You know, you have to be able to sit still, like not screaming, you know, not out of control.
Oh, okay.
Because you still have to protect the horse in that, yeah, aspect, right?
Right, okay.
So, yeah.
No. Wow, that's amazing.
Very
cool.
Amazing.
Cool. We Ryan's poem reading, we didn't get a response. Maybe let's go here and maybe just tell us your thoughts after hearing what he had to say. Or anybody. Did we talk about it before we went to commercial? I forget. See, I can't tell where we'd stopped and kind of moved on, but the randomness of the fire. But well, let's talk about kind of this, we'd kind of come to this thread where there's this natural reality, and then there's this created reality, right? And how are there things in nature that that you like? I mean, the horses, right? That's, it's real and natural. It's 1,100 pounds. You know, this walking horse is not created. It is here. And so, are there things that in nature, the natural environment, you pull to ground yourself? In your thinking, is that a very too abstract of a question? If you, like for me, like here's an example: is because I'm involved in the salmon so much, I'm kind of seeing the eyes of the world through a salmon, right? And so even for a salmon swimming from stream to the ocean, it actually has to go through all these political boundaries, right? And so I'm comparing this life of a salmon versus all these kind of abstract political boundaries that have been defined by humans for what really should naturally happen for a salmon. So are there things in what I'm entitled to as a human in my day-to-day life that where artificial boundaries have been placed on because of just random politics from people who want to make laws? And so as an activist, I see things through the natural means of what A to B means, and why are these rules in the way, right? So I don't know if you guys can relate to that thinking.
I'd say going on hikes, definitely, because the trees, you look at all the trees, and the rings around the trees represents how old they are.
Yeah.
And you just look at the tree and you think, like, how bad can our problems be, like, after if all these trees are here, right? Like, it's very therapeutic, going on hikes, I find.
Yeah, that's amazing, taking that to spirituality of a tree. How about you?
Well, yeah, I have same thing with the trees. I actually like to go for jogs in the park next to my house, and actually, like, not because I'm psychotic, but I actually like to talk to the trees and communicate with them, and,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
touch them sometimes, and just connect, like, with nature, pretty much, right? And, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not absurd. Here, actually, that's amazing that you guys brought this up, because I wrote this poem that I wrote, read at Tree Fest.
Oh, yeah.
Which is at the Riverview Hospital grounds, because I presented on the healing power of trees. And so this was in my conscience, right? And so I wrote a poem, "The Rings of a Tree in the Life of Me." "Those rings of a tree in the life of me, both planted of seeds from our family, roots twisted like spaghetti, fettuccine, or curly fries, where distant cousins come as a surprise. In youth we grow not knowing our limit. We twist and bend and are spry like a whippet. Sheltered from the storms by our parents' canopy, for the rings of a tree in the life of me. As an adult, our bark wrinkles, rain on our skin like shower and a sprinkle. Lightning strikes nearby, but we stand with courage, as those who are nearest succumb to flames that flourish. Some may fall in the dead of night. They sacrifice for the young and begin to nurse at first light. For those trees that pass, I cannot weep. Being a tree upright makes it hard to sleep. My branch of leaves reach out for the sun to see, for the rings of a tree in the life of me. In my own afterlife, will I stand tall like a totem story with all its glory? Or as a stump in a waterfall in a local mall? In all our lives, we hope they will remember, just like a tree fest in September, those rings and me and a natural life's history." Nice. Thank you for that. Thank you for inspiring me. Yeah, beautiful. See, we're not so out of touch with reality after all. We are connected by this whole natural world. And it's okay to talk to the trees, because they won't talk back. They will listen.
Yes.
Whereas people will try and give you advice. It's like, I just want you to listen to me, actually. You know, I just really want you to listen. And Ryan actually mentioned, you know, the one thing about going into nature versus when you go into this kind of disconnected nature world is you don't have to react to anything. You don't have to react to those words on the wall. You don't have to react to that ticking clock. You don't have to react to this, because, you know, our highly tuned sensitive minds are processing every little ding 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 coming in, right? And when you're in nature, it's just flow. And yeah, to be able to consciously tap into that and know that you're doing it for you. This is not dangerous. I'm not. It's actually, you know, keeping me healthy. Not then. That's your checklist. It's like, yeah,
right.
It's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. All right, we're. I don't know. What are we gonna do now? We got 12 minutes. Let's play another Alex Cuba song. And see, the thing is, Alex, he only like wrote like Spanish songs, right? So like, the only one is "If You Give Me Love" and "Caballo," and all the other stuff is just like his soul coming out. Like, it doesn't really matter what the words of the language is, right? Because we can feel the energy of. That's what kind of art and music does, and that's why I think it's so powerful. And a lot of people don't understand it because they're still in this other world that's based in boxes and things. So, as an artist now, I've consciously found all these, like, just how we're taking in all these things, but I can go the other way, right? And you know, I try and do for good, right? And then inject the other way of all these things based on reality, right? And that's kind of what music does. And so it's almost like at firing back. It's like it's an artist's response to, like, oh yeah, well, I'll match your unnatural thing with my nature-based music or whatever, whether it's acoustic guitar or anything. But here's Alex.
Reflection when I'm looking in the mirror. Are you really there when you make me see myself clearer? Are you the brown in my complexion? Are you the prettiest deception? Are you every planet, every star in every sphere? Hey, is that your bikini or are you string theory? Are you the carnival of my desire?
Peachy Sound Therapy Radio. That was Alex Cuba, Are You? I thought he only had one English song, but I guess that's number two. Or maybe that's the Spanish version. All right, Ryan Fletcher, host of Melodies of Mine. You did hear him earlier talking about burning flame in fireplaces, and he is now going to do a promotion for his magnificently comparably magnificent show.
You had to work hard to have a show that's comparable to mine, didn't you?
Not really. It's pretty easy, actually. I just do that for you.
So, coming up next is Melodies of Mine. That's at 8 o'clock. We're going to have three live musicians. I like to have live musicians. They do a little bit better than dead ones. And
you don't want to admit that on radio, because that'll be used against you in the court of public opinion.
Yeah, well, I've tried it. I've tried bringing dead musicians in, but it's all oldies. They only play oldies.
Tales from the Crypt, that's a whole other show. That's from 5 to 7, by the way.
Okay, so we're going to have Aaron Innes.
Hello.
Tell us a bit about your music.
Oh, gee.
Come closer.
Oh,
you're an occupier. Hey.
Yeah, oh hey. Occupying in the house.
Nice, the gamer. Oh,
yeah,
nice.
I jump up and down and shout and swear and talk about politics.
Yeah,
is that
that's
enough
ditto.
About my music? That's how it is.
Nice. You put the live ones the best.
Yeah. We have Kira Shaughnessy.
Hello.
Talk to the microphone.
About my music. I don't jump up and down as much as Rin, but I also talk about politics and yeah, a lot of other things, which you will discover soon.
Mm-hmm. And Brayden Much.
My music's not about politics at all. It's very more internal blues, relationship based, and a little bit of East Coast twist on it. So
that's person-to-person politics, man.
Yeah.
Personal right? is political.
Yeah, yeah. It's yeah. We do it all the time. Get out of my show.
And they're the best musicians in the world. So that'll be at 8 o'clock.
Ryan talks in hyperbole, by the way, just so I know. Yeah, the studio's not big enough. They need bigger unseated airwaves. All right, thank you very much, Ryan Fletcher. We're going to finish up with our show. All photographers, please leave the studio. No. Please.
I'll record you for yours,
though. No. We're going to stay with the truth and the reality of our own creative campfire imaginations here. All right, we have about 5 minutes, so that's about, I don't know, 90 seconds each to, I'll ask you the question. You can pull the mics down closer. What would you say to, what advice would you give to someone who is, was in that space where it's just they're bombarded with this and they can't move and they're hampered, and so, well, you know, what advice would you give them? What would you say to them? What would you say to yourself back in that place? And then I'm going to play some music in the background and just hand it off naturally, and then we'll end with Lauren.
Okay, first thing I'd like to say is things do get better. If you go and seek help, you will be helped and things will get better. And I've had a couple of relapses over the last couple of years, but I keep going. And don't let anyone say that you can't do what you want to do, because you can. It may be a little tougher, but you can do it. Don't let your disability get in the way. Yeah, I wish you best of luck.
For me, I think people with I believe everybody has a gift, and we all have something to learn from this experience. If manic episodes or could be anything, life changing. Rock on.
Nice. Thanks for the courageous words. And Lauren's gonna wrap it up. Thank you for putting together these amazing people and sharing your story so courageously. Because, you know, I know it's such a anxious thing to come up here, and we're gonna be on radio, and it's Jay Peach and this amazing star celebrity. I know that really puts it over the top, but you know, thanks for coming out, man. Because you'll hear this, and you know, you'll talk about it so much that you'll forget about that they defined you had a problem, right? And I forget my experience. I forget, and people are like, wow. They're like, wow, like what, wow. And they, because I've dialogued it so much, and it's become normal. It's become I've taken the truth of who I am, and you know, well, maybe that's not so good, but that's okay, part of me, and just this amazing honesty. And I think that's what we need from people in the world, no matter how absurd the thing is, you may admit to you that's really kind of not who you are. So why don't you wrap her up here, and then I'll play some tunes, and then we'll wrap it up with Alex.
My advice to you would don't give up. You know, you may be in a bad place now, but there's always a good place that's coming up ahead. Never give up. Always look at the logics of things. Get yourself out of your comfortable barrier. You know, go out there, meet people, do things, just be in the presence. You know, things will get easier, things will get better, and things will get funner. Keep up what you're doing, and keep on going.
Therapy Radio. See you next week, people.